This half an hour actually is going to be is brought to you by Far Out Flicks and Looking for Heroes. So I'm going to start off with Rosedale Gray. This is his crazy video. Oh my God. He actually had 126 paintballs hurled at him in this video. Didn't realize it until after the fact that he broke a world record because somebody told him that. But anyway, this is Rosedale Gray on Coral FM, and I'll be right back. I'll give you a little bit more information on him.
This tiny screen held to the jack. Guess I missed my turn. As if rush hour has to hit the worst of times this avenue. Another lesson learned.
My name is Mike, and I am a workaholic. I started this alternative rock band in 2004 called Rosedale, and I'm still all about it. I usually put together a team of musicians and travel around North America playing shows and inspiring kids, young and old. Sometimes, when I can't assemble a team, I'll do it myself. I love what I do, and I'm proud to say I'm finally able to make it my living. Music has always been a part of my life. I can still remember getting my first cassette tapes when I was 4 years old and jumping on beds, learning how to sing along and perform to them when nobody was around. My family was very surprised the odd times I'd come out of my shell and sing along to the Weird Al tape word for word in the car. I always wanted to learn to play guitar, but my mom forced me and my brother to learn piano first to gain a better understanding of music, and I'm glad she did.
I'm powerful quick. Hey.
Sports were also a huge part of my life. Weekends and after school were busy with hockey, basketball, golf, and skateboarding or snowboarding. At 12 years old, I got my first guitar and I was hooked. I started listening to punk rock records like Dookie, Enema of the State, Pennybridge Pioneers, All Killer No Filler, as well as rock compilations like Big Shiny Tunes and anything on the Tony Hawk Pro Skater video games. Pretty soon, I was writing my own songs, and I'd convince my friends to get guitars and drums so we could start a band. We'd carry our crappy amps to each other's houses or walk down Rosedale Avenue to the local music store and practice what we wrote on pricey equipment we couldn't afford. Two EPs later, everyone else in the band grew up and moved on. It seemed absurd to me. I still had this dream, and it grew stronger every day. I wanted to get Rosedale on Warped Tour and turn some heads. In 2012, I released Rosedale's debut album, Real, by myself, and set out on the Vans Warped Tour, all by myself. I'd drive all night, set up facing the lineup, play to the early crowd in the morning, then set up my light show and play to the departing crowd at night. After a couple weeks, I was invited to play inside on stage. This dream was finally coming to life. Since that summer, I've been touring all corners of the U.S. and some of Canada, releasing new online content and continuing to develop my sound and show. The most rewarding thing about this independent lifestyle is not so much the freedom to do what I want and all the fun of traveling around this beautiful continent. It's the inspiration Rosedale gives to others. Ultimate DIY message. Commit, sacrifice, create, and above all, sustain. You really can do anything if you truly love it, and nobody can represent you better than yourself. That really speaks to me.
It feels like yesterday, the first time that I heard your voice on Country 98. I pictured you in the vocal booth in short shorts, a tee of your favorite band. I couldn't wait to get back home and look you up on the internet. Your laugh, your smile, the way you throw your hair, and everything you do. That ass, sorry, I haven't grown up yet, but I want to be with you. Oh, the things I think about when I see you, I feel like a little kid. Oh, the things I do for you. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift. We're spinning speak now again. I can't get up just yet, cause well, they'll see what's in my pants. I went to all my favorite adult websites to find girls that look like you, but they weren't the same. They're not the same. No, it's not the same. Cause your laugh, your smile, the way you throw your hair, yeah, everything you do. Sorry, I haven't grown up yet, but I want to be with you. Oh, the things I think about when I see you, I'd give love another chance. Oh, the things I do with you. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift. Choice Awards. I cannot wait for the CoverGirl commercial. I cannot wait to meet the girl of my dreams. I cannot wait to see if she'll go out with me. You laugh, you smile.
Okay, that was Rosedale and Taylor Swift. So you can kind of get an idea of what this guy is all about. His real name is Mike Liordi, and he's a one-man dynamo, that's for sure. He does it all. He plays, you know, keyboards, he plays piano, he does all his own looping, all kinds of stuff. So he's going to be at Maxwell's November 8th as part of the Indie Night with Time and Distance. Quite the guy. He had quite the story to tell. So yeah, that was Rosedale. And I just played Taylor Swift. And actually what he's doing is he's hoping, like all his fans are hoping, that one day Taylor Swift will see that song. You know, when you're, he said YouTube's a huge thing. So you're going down the, you know, the YouTube credits and stuff, you'll see Taylor Swift, Rosedale, Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift. So he thought that would be kind of funny. And then before that, I played Gray. And that's, if you look, if you see the video on YouTube, you'll see how many paintballs he gets hurled at him. I don't know. He said it was, anyway, it was quite the story. So if you want to know more about Rosedale, check out the Sound FM, check out www.soundfm.ca and my podcast.
I've been listening to your music. It's pretty crazy. I really have to give you some props, man. You totally are a workaholic. I thought I was bad. commit, sacrifice, create, and above all, sustain. So what did you listen to as a kid? I'm getting probably new punk over old punk.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I guess alternative takeover revolution of like, you know, the Blink 182s, the Green Days.
Okay, Sum 41, Billy Tell, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would flick on, you know, Much Music every morning and watch all those bands and just want to be like them.
Yeah. Are you from Rosedale? Is that why the name? Or is that why the name Rosedale?
There's actually a street in Brampton called Rosedale Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we would just basically walk the entire length of the street to get to the music store almost every day.
Wow.
So that's, yeah, we just named it after that. And coincidentally, there's Rosedales everywhere. So
there's a very affluent neighborhood in Toronto called Rosedale as well. So I just wanted to clarify that. I know you've been doing this for a long time. How many songs do you figure you've written?
Probably around 50, 60.
Yeah.
I know we probably released a total of like 22, 23 now, something around there.
Wow. So you, I mean, I just heard your, I heard the first album, the 2011 album, Real, and that's pretty cool. There's Online Venting. This is another one. This is a good mantra for you. I am not one for giving up. And why did you write Creep Your Page? That's a strange song.
There was just a time that, like, I don't know, everybody was, like, looking at each other's Facebook pages, and I don't know, it just seemed like, it still does seem like we're in such an awkward social time in person, but such a, like, busy and outgoing side to our online personalities. So I just kind of wrote that as like a funny digital version of my music, and I don't know, a lot, I just kind of wrote it as an experiment, but a lot of people really clung on to that song, probably because it's just so simple and catchy.
It is.
Yes. And also there was like the Postal Service and Owl City influence that I finally got to show. So I think a lot of people were just, they liked the change that it had. But then there's also a lot of people who are like, where did that song come from? That's not my style. I like the other Rosedale. So, I don't know. I like to experiment and have different styles to my music. And sometimes it goes well. Sometimes it makes people just kind of have to brush that one off.
Well, let me think here. So when you tour, do you tour by yourself and then just pick up players where you're at, like in town, or do you have a regular band? I'm not sure at this point.
I sometimes tour by myself and, like, play shows as a one-man show.
Okay.
So that, like, I basically just have, like, some pre-recorded tracks, and then I play different instruments of whatever I want to play for what part.
Yeah.
And then I just have like program lights and some program MIDI sequencing.
Mm.
But that's only, you know, during desperate times. And then I also have like musicians in Virginia and West Virginia and Indiana. And I'm slowly trying to like make my way west with like building a roster of guys who could tour for a couple weeks or a month and get some vacation time to help me out.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. So, yeah. Yeah.
It keeps the music fresh and different, because when you get to town and you pick up a bunch of, like, you know, have a bunch of different players, do you guys, how long do you have to rehearse, or do you just kind of, yeah, how does that work?
Well, it's actually surprising the responses I get on it, because I think I've become so good at teaching the parts now.
Mm-hmm.
and getting ways to, like, get these parts and how to think of them in each player's heads, that a lot of times I'm hearing like, man, how do you get so many good drummers, and how do you...
Yeah, really, because drummers are, you know, hard to find sometimes.
And my parts are really, like, intricate to remember, because there's always changes each time.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty up-tempo.
Yeah, like, usually we don't rehearse for more than, like, 5 or 6 days before a tour, but we just, you know, go hard and do, like, 8 to 12 hour days. And make sure that we work out all the kinks of a song so that drummer C plays it exactly like drummer B and A does. And then from there, we just kind of play it over and over. And, yeah, surprisingly, like, we get a lot of people saying that it sounds like we've been playing together for 2 years, 3 years, when, like, sometimes I just started playing with the guy 6, 7 days ago. So...
That's really interesting. That's a great template, actually. And I got your sampler, too, and that's fun. I actually played to my father last week on the show. I'm guessing this is about your dad. How many instruments do you actually play? Do you play piano and guitar?
Yeah, I started playing piano when I was about 7.
Yeah.
And then I started playing guitar when I was around 12 and started writing songs.
Yeah.
And I got more back into piano. And then I just started playing drums after teaching drummers, you know, from the age of 13. And then I just sort of picked it up myself.
Wow.
I also play, like, a little bit of cello and violin. I'm starting to learn now. But I usually will, like, get a violin player and a drummer to just layer a bunch of parts on the album. And then I'll go through and play the bass, guitar, vocals, and all the rest of it.
Yeah. Do you have a loop? Do you have a loop pedal on stage that you can sort of, you know, factor all this kind of stuff in if you're a one-man show?
I really only use, like, the looper for, like, a little segue in between songs. I don't really like to try and mess around with that in the middle of a song, because I'm not too great at it, and it also controls a bunch of other effects that I use.
Yeah, true that. Yeah.
Yeah, but most of it is just, like, pre-recorded, or I'll, like, record a direct dry track of my guitar and then send it out of my interface into the other half of my amp, because I, like, split it up.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's playing two riffs at once and I'm responsible for playing one of them live.
Yeah.
And then the bass is same deal, like it's being sent out to a bass amp. So it actually feels like there's a full band on stage, even though sometimes it's only just me and
you,
a drummer.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. A lot of people do that these days. Okay, so the song to my dad, at the beginning, there's this cool little sort of, I don't know if it's a Christmas time or a special occasion.
Yeah.
Is this, like, why'd you write the song? I think I already know the answer to this, but...
I was kind of into hockey for a while when I was younger.
Yeah, and, sports nut.
Yeah, so my dad was always, like, super supportive and always there for me. And I don't know, we kind of had, like, a difficult relationship once I kind of wanted to give that up and go into music. And then eventually he kind of, you know, saw how into it I was and that I wasn't going to just quit this like I did with hockey.
Yeah.
And then he became pretty supportive and, like, really wanted to see me succeed and liked how I was doing all this stuff on my own and not having the support that I had with hockey. So I think I kind of gained his respect with that. And then I got really ill on tour. My appendix burst.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I was in Long Island, and I checked into a hospital, and he, like, flew down and spent the week with me, and it was really cool. And he's always been, like, super family-orientated, and, like, health comes first. And
yeah, so, exactly.
I just had, like, all these, like, near-death flashbacks during that moment of, like, being a kid and, like, hanging out with my dad. So then my mom actually converted all these, like, old tapes that we had from, like, Christmas time and stuff to DVD.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, wouldn't it be cool if I could put me as a four-year-old on my album that's kind of about... And the new album is really based on, like, growing up and all the experiences I had to get to this point of Rosedale.
So I
felt it kind of appropriate to, like, put that in the song. That was about how much, you know, I appreciated all my dad's support and love and all that.
Yeah, it was really sweet. And I got to ask you, why would you hurl 126 paintballs at your chest? Gray's a really cool song. When I saw the video, I was just, oh my God. So did you really set a world record with this?
Well, I didn't really go too in-depth with, like, if I got the record or not, and I wasn't really thinking about it at the time.
Yeah.
But, like, I just wanted to do something crazy for this video and painful that wouldn't kill me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how that idea came to my head one day, because I was watching, like, a tutorial on how to do an effect called leave color.
Okay,
so I thought it'd be
cool
to do a black and white shoot. And then the orange of the paintballs, or whatever colors paintballs we can get, be the color that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it works.
We test shot the leaf color effect with a blue paintball against my back, because we wanted to use the skin tone versus the color of the paint.
Yeah.
We did, like, 7 shots on my back a week earlier, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, we just went with it and said, all right, if at any point you can't take it anymore, just turn around and we could just start the shoot again.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, I don't want to do this if I have to, like, stop in the middle of it.
Yeah, because that's going to hurt even more. So.
Right. So eventually we just, like, did it in some parking garage, and I didn't know how many we were going to do. I just sort of took as many as I could, and then we counted them after, and it was 126.
Yeah,
and then, like, a year later, one of my drummers in Indiana, we were hanging out with his dad in Florida, and he was like, oh, I was watching a Guinness Book of World Records for the biggest idiots or something like that.
Oh, no.
On, like, True TV, and he was telling me that it was 118. And I was like, oh, man, I figured somebody must have done way more than that, but mine was 126.
Wow.
So that's how I kind of found out that it was a world record, but I wish I'd known going into it
how painful it was going to be. How did you psych yourself up for this? I guess it's suffering for your art, and
Yeah, well, actually, surprisingly, it wasn't as painful as I thought it was going to be, because, like I said, the back hurt a lot, but I was just like, I always want to do something crazy for my videos, because that's kind of the main attraction for people listening to your songs these days, especially with YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's very visual. I have to say, you got quite a lot of hits for that. The other one is Taylor Swift. What inspired this song? I think I can guess, but what inspired this song? Because it's pretty funny.
Well, like I said, like, I always like to experiment and, like, throw a curveball in some of my writing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This was just a song that I kind of woke up one morning and thought, that'd be funny to write a song about. That'd be, like, something that people would listen to. And also, I thought it was clever to kind of build the song around her name, because everybody was covering Taylor Swift songs.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was, like, going to YouTube and typing in, you know, Taylor Swift. So I didn't want to do a cover song, because I think that my main strength is my songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that people would, like, that video should pop up on the side of other videos when people listen to her songs or are checking out her covers of her. So
yeah.
I don't know.
I
ended up liking how, like, it was super simple as well, and have, like, a really big, like, orchestra cinema score influence as well from like old school, like Lion King soundtracks and stuff like that. So that was kind of a good place for me to experiment with that kind of sound too.
I also like the kind of the Bob Dylan place card thing that you have going on. That's kind of cool as well.
thanks.
Do you know if she's seen? I think that seems to be a campaign. People want her to see your video. Do you know?
Yeah.
Did you know that? That's kind of pretty. That's pretty wild too. So the new album. These are like just a sampler. The songs I heard from the new album. So are you? Yeah. Is that out yet, or is it going to be coming out sometime soon?
Yeah, I'm still kind of working on where and how to release it. It's so difficult these days. And, you know, I don't want it to be like my last album where I just kind of put it out on my own and throw it up on iTunes and hope for the best.
Yeah, digital release, yeah. So you want something more like a tangible release? Would you do something on vinyl, too?
I'm not really a vinyl guy.
Okay.
I mean, I like it for a lot of music, but I just think my music is just a little more, I don't know, full and, I don't know, I like to think of it as like a little more futuristic, so
yeah.
I like the sound of it on a CD, but not just that, like I want to have like some sort of marketing support or something that has like a big bang and creates a right time to release it. So I have a single that's going to be coming out in sometime in December, maybe January, and there should be more details on that in the next couple of weeks, but hopefully that is exciting enough and creates a little bit of a buzz and hype that I can drop a release date on the album, because it's done, and it's getting ready to go into, like, duplication, but, yeah, I just want to have, like, the right, you know, cards in order before I drop the album, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you have, like, a core group of musicians on the album or special guests or anything like that?
I just had my drummer in Canada that was kind of my go-to drummer after my drummer of, like, 5 or 6 years had left the band. His name is Brad Fisher.
Oh, okay, yep.
So yeah, he drummed on To My Father and Gray and the rest of the album.
Yeah.
Except for a couple of the songs. I had my drummer from Indiana come up before a tour, and he recorded a couple songs as well. But other than that, yeah, it was just kind of me doing everything.
You're doing everything, because you're the ultimate DIY guy, I gotta say. And you're playing parts of Canada, then you're going down to New York? Is that right, by the looks of this?
We're in... well, I'm in Rochester right now doing rehearsals with some of the guys on the tour.
That's a nice place. I like Rochester a lot. That's very cool.
Yeah. And then we're doing, Western New York, and then heading through Quebec, and then coming back down and doing New York City, New Jersey, and a little bit of Northern Virginia, and then coming back up through West Virginia, which is where these guys, Time and Distance, are from.
Yeah, yep.
And then we end in Pittsburgh at the end of November. So, yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, and so at Maxwell's, you have Time and Distance with you, I guess, right? This is part of a indie night, basically.
Yeah, so that's this coming Sunday in Kitchener at Maxwell's. They're going to be coming up and playing, and then I'm going to be filling in on guitar for them. So we kind of have like this split set thing where we just play a few of their songs, a few Rosedale songs, and just not even have to move any gear. We just stay right where we are, so it should be kind of neat.
That is kind of neat. So the next CD, are you doing it with Drive Music like you did before, or is it a different studio?
It's the same studio recordings and mixing as the sampler, and we also like recorded Real and Get Going. A lot of it was done at Drive Studios as well, and it was mixed at Drive Studios with Steve.
Yeah, that's great, because he also did Ill Scarlet No Effect, so that makes sense. Here's something I ask all musicians. I have two questions. One, what are you listening to right now?
I I mean, as always, I listen to a lot of myself, especially if I have some, a lot of stuff that's unreleased. What have I been? I've been listening to a lot of the second newest The Used album. I think it's called Vulnerable.
Okay, yeah.
That song, that album's just been stuck in my head a lot, so I've been listening to it.
Okay.
And trying to think of what else is in the CD player currently. My friend Francie used to be in a band called Hello Kelly, and they were out of Orangeville.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, he moved to Nashville a few years ago, and Hello Kelly kind of disbanded a couple years ago, and now he's got his solo thing called Francie, and he just put out an album called The Robot Speaks, like 3 weeks ago it came out, and it's got a really cool story of, like, how his career just kind of went crazy, and then now he's back to just being a human again. So it was really interesting for me because I've been following that band for a while, and that was our first tour we went on was with Hello Kelly. So yeah. I've been listening to his album like crazy, and it's really simple and stripped down. It's just acoustic and like a couple little like Nintendo sounds. So something I've never heard before, but it's cool.
Well, I can play a song for you on the show this afternoon. That's really cool. Well, I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, Mike. And, you know, all the best at Maxwell's.
Well, what else did you get?
I got this.
Gloves?
I got these home.
Today was on a good streak, now curled up I lay. He's right again. Dad, can you come get me? The hospital 500 miles away. No, I'm not dead. To my father, he makes the best of it. Tells me how I'll be in his shoes one day, looking after him. Dad, you can count on it. I owe you much more than the love you have for me. I'll never quit.
Thank you.
Thank you.